Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And this is, this is what we're doing, is we are moving forward. That's all I can say, Jennifer. I'm just like...
It was that much of an experience for both of us, where we were just, I think... If I could see the wheels in your head turning, like, what am I going to say about older Michiganians Day?
And that's the one thing that we've talked about this. Older Michiganians Day is an annual event. And I think for some reason, this was the first year that we've done this. And I don't know why this hit us, but it's just a reality that we are older Michiganians.
Speak for yourself.
And not that it's a problem. And I think, what we're going to talk about today is just the impact of, advocacy events and things that deal with aging and how we are aging caregivers, aging advocates. And I think that's the one thing, just going along with everything, because we also have, there's an essay on our blog, acoupletakesonms.com, where we'll talk more in depth about the issues and everything about what we discuss, and there'll be photos. But I think one of the biggest things this year is I was tapped in to be one of the speakers at the event on the Capitol lawn at the Michigan State Capitol in Lansing, and it was a pretty heady people speak all the time, blah blah blah, but this was something that for us, older Michiganians Day is something we've done pretty much every year that we've been married. So that's, you're saying like almost 20 years that we've been going down there.
Yes. And I don't mean to be quiet, but this was your day. Older Michiganians Day started largely because I'm on the Medicaid waiver program, which is a program that provides me with a caregiver during the day, or if needed, two caregivers at a time. Not to sound spoiled, but I need care to help me with activities of daily living so I can stay in my home while Dan continues working. And at the time, for a large portion of our marriage, you worked at CMU and you worked away from the home. But now, since, the last 7-8 years, you've worked from an office here at the house, and you've been able to help support my caregiver during the day. And we've been very lucky to have caregiver Jen, who we've mentioned several times on the podcast. But because I need that help to continue to live at home and to complete activities of daily living, I've been fortunate to be to be enrolled in the Medicaid waiver program. And that's so important to me, and it's important to you, Dan, because that helps to make our marriage possible. Because, as I hate to say, technically I could be living in some sort of facility because I can no longer do a lot for myself. And again, I hate to admit that, but anywho. So the waiver program has been really helpful in our marriage, and we've gone down to Lansing and advocated. And it's always been more focused on me because, I'm the one in the wheelchair. I'm the one that needs the help. But this year we talked about something near and dear to both of our hearts, but it focused more on you, Dan.
It focused on caregiving. And when we go down there, we're talking about the My Choice Medicaid waiver program. And so much that, it's with the advocating and speaking to our elected officials for funding for the My Choice and other programs for older Michiganians, older adults, people living with disabilities, and to keep people in their own homes. And I think that was the big thing. The very first year, like the My Choice program is MI as in Michigan, but my home is my choice was the big the big slogan back when we first started. I believe it was had to been like 2006 because we got married in 2005, and we've been pretty well doing the advocacy work there. And I think that was the big thing is back then it seemed like the total oddity that here we were, a 32-year-old man, a 30-year-old woman at quote-unquote Older Michiganians Day. And we're just like, oh, but we're not Older Michiganians and stuff. But it's just like now, fast forward 21 years, I mean, I'm flirting with 54 and you're just over 51. And so we technically are the Older Michiganians. But I think what I loved about this year is pushing and advocating for funding for programs specifically to help in-home, you know, family caregivers. I mean, because we've talked about increasing, pushing for increased funding for paying caregivers like Caregiver Jen better wages so that there isn't a caregiving shortage in Michigan because people need caregivers in their homes. And so we've talked about that, but this was the big push for in-home family caregivers that are taking care of their families, for their loved ones. I mean, it's that when I had my hernia surgery, and we've talked about that on our podcast and it's been on our blog, when I had hernia surgery and I could not take care of you for 6 weeks in my recovery, just how much that made me realize that, you know, for as challenging as it was to get extra caregivers for my recovery, just how much work is done by loved ones and the unpaid family caregivers. And so it's just like, you know, the push that there is like legislation for a potential tax credit for in-home family caregivers.
Do you want me to read this?
Just high level on that legislation, because I think this is important, because I think if anything, it would be awesome too if this is something that Michigan could help lead in conversations nationwide for people, for other states to say, well, Michigan is providing a tax credit just because it's important. But go ahead and read that.
It is estimated that 1.73 million Michiganians provide an estimated 1.1 billion hours, billion with a B, of voluntary care worth approximately $19.6 billion per year, and are the largest source of long-term services and supports in the country. And so knowing that unpaid family caregivers provide that support, we were down there in Lansing to urge the legislature to support a permanent $5 million to expand caregiver support programs and provide respite, education, and resources to sustain the unpaid workforce that underpins Michigan's long-term care system. And we are going to also urge the legislature to pass bipartisan House Bill 5214 to provide financial relief to unpaid family caregivers through a state income tax credit of up to $2,000 per year. And I mean, that sounds like a lot of words, but it was just that tax credit that you talked about. And it is how important that unpaid or informal caregivers, how important they are to our aging population. I mean, blink, and we were 30 and now we're 50. You know, it goes that quickly, and we know how important this is. So that was the biggest thing that we were focused on, and partly, mainly, why you were there and you spoke about that so eloquently.
Thank you. It was such an honor. I mean, when you're talking that there's, I think there was estimated over 150 people in attendance at the event, where it's down on the Michigan Capitol lawn. And I feel, I've always felt it's more like a rally and stuff. And it's awesome because there's, you know, that there are legislators who come down to the lawn to meet with constituents within their regions. And so that we, you know, regularly have met with our legislators. And it was great that one of Senator Houck's aides came down and chatted with us.
Because Senator Houck was in session. Mm-hmm. And he was not able to meet with us, so we weren't blown off by any means. He sent an aide who kind of have a lot of pull with the senator, just to help get things done. So we met with him.
And Representative Nyer, and again, because I think really where when we told people we were going to be there, my speech got delayed because there were legislators who kept coming down to the lawn that they got to speak first. And so things got backed up. And so I'm, you know, Representative Nyer's always been supportive of us. And so it's just that they know. And I mean, that's the importance for people out there who are activists, advocates, just follow up letters to legislators, just reminding them of things. And so as we send follow up letters to remind them, you know, the issues which we talked about. And I think it was, for me, I was honored to speak and, you know, grateful because you started it, because you actually spoke last year at Older Michiganians Day talking about your experience with My Choice. And I think that's the reality when we're saying, oh, you know, that 30-year-old newlyweds and we're not Older Michiganians. But I mean, just think about that of your first time on the Capitol lawn for this event and not knowing, because that really... Older Michiganians Day is what cracked us into advocacy and becoming activists. And then just to think then that like 20 years later, you would be a speaker on the lawn. I would be a speaker on the lawn. And that's the one thing, bless caregiver Jen, she was with us and she recorded my speech. I mean, we timed it. It was like 3.5 minutes, but she recorded it. And that is posted on our website on the blog. We'll have a link to that in the show notes here and on the blog at acoupletakesonms.com. And I think that you spoke last year that really put me more at ease, that it's just like we've been through that. So I don't know how you handled it last year that you did. You blazed the trail.
I think very much like you, this is our reality. This is super important to both of us. And it came straight from the heart. This is what's important and what we need to talk about and what we need to get through to legislators. I mean, My Choice makes sense. You keep people in their homes. Quality of life is better. It's financially smarter to keep people in their own homes. As you and I have talked about several times on our podcast, I think, you know, you keep us in our homes. I do my own grocery shopping. I buy my own food. I pay for my laundry. I do that, but I stay at home and you give me 30 hours of care a week and that's possible. Dan can continue to stay with me. And like I said, our quality of life is better. But this time you spoke because it is the reality that caregivers, unpaid family caregivers, need support too. And you focus so much of your day, of your everyday day, and taking care of me. And I am beyond grateful, but I want to support you. And I'm sure there's many of us out there who have family that's helping to take care of us. We want to take care of you. And that's why this legislation was so important. Probably why your speaking wasn't frightening, because it came from your heart and it's your reality and it's the truth. You need to be supported.
And I think that is always the biggest thing. And that's when we're talking in the caregiving space, just how, and we have this reality because I think you are my caregiver as much as people say, oh, you know, I'm caring for you. You do so much for me. And I think that's why this hit me, because I think then in me thinking about you as my caregiver and knowing what I do as a caregiver for you, just how much work and effort that is. And I think that's where, you know, like you say, just coming from the heart and being able to say that. And I think that's where, I mean, I'll just even read just the opening to it, because
yes,
I think,
please do.
You know, as a writer, you always, you want to, you know, pull people in at the lead and just to make them, just interest, just to get at the heart of what it is we're talking about. So, and I mean, this is just how it starts. Like many family caregivers, I never really set out to become one. I simply stepped into the role because, well, I wanted to marry Jennifer. And if I'm being honest, I imagine many of you here today would agree that caregiving and love are often impossible to separate. Most days, caregiving is invisible. It's helping with transfers, managing medications, coordinating appointments, and filling in the countless gaps that come with navigating life with a chronic illness or disability. For a long time, I didn't really think much about it. I just assumed that this is what spouses were supposed to do. This simply has been part of Jennifer and my life for nearly 21 years. But this past January, I had hernia surgery. And I think for me, you know, okay, I'm done reading. You can watch and listen to the whole speech on our website, acoupletakesonms.com. I just think that just that's where it came from, and just how that one, quote unquote, a simple surgery. I mean, it was like 6 weeks and I was in home, but I mean, just how that moment just gave such a great reality check to like what it is we do as caregivers and what everybody who cares for a spouse, an aging parent, a child, you know, it's just, these are the realities, and this is why it's so important to bring these things to people's attention.
Mm-hmm. And the reality is that it was surgery and it was pretty major, and we'll be the first to say we're still relying on more equipment than we needed before you had the surgery. And I realize that using the sit to stand or asking caregiver Jen to help us a little more frequently than she used to, that spares you. And that's the way it should have been all along. And so maybe this helped refocus that you are Superman, but you need a little bit of help. Yeah. And so we're doing that, and we're being more mindful. We're trying to get more rest. We're trying to eat better. We're trying to exercise. And maybe it's unfortunate. It's kind of like the stupid MS in the first place. This put our focus on well-being and just like taking it serious, like, you know, you need to have help to lift me. If you have to do it several times a day, use this sit to stand. Don't herniate your back. Or don't. There were times, just to be perfectly honest with everyone listening, there were times that it would take two or three times before I could stand up and get my pants pulled down. Or if Jen wasn't there, I would sit because I knew that it would be difficult to get me up. And now that we have the sure thing of a sit to stand, if I have to go to the bathroom, I'm like, let's go, let's do it. No waiting, because I know that that can be done. And what used to take a half an hour and it now takes 15 minutes at max, which sounds like a really long time to anyone that can just go into the bathroom, tinkle, and walk away. But when you're needing a piece of equipment, to do it in 15 minutes guaranteed is such a godsend.
Well, I think that's just the reality of, you know, life with a disability, life with needing to use equipment, that it is, there is no such thing as a, you know, quick stop into the bathroom. I mean, it's a process. I think that's the same thing with quote unquote jumping in the shower. I mean, it's just like, you know, if I'm by myself, you know, we've seen I can shower in 5 to 10 minutes, but if it's you and me, because you need my help showering, I don't think this is TMI, and we've talked about it before, but I mean, shower days, it's like a good hour and a half mm-hmm. to just plan for the shower and mm-hmm. everything thereafter because of everything we have to do.
We have to transfer me from my wheelchair into my shower chair. We have to wash my hair because, babe, your hair is like next to nothing to wash. Because I use soap, but okay. I have to transfer and shower, and then I have to transfer back from my shower chair and then back into my wheelchair, and it does. You're right. It takes at least an hour, hour and 20 on days when we're rushing. And just to be kept and obvious, when you're rushing in the bathroom, when you have multiple sclerosis, slips could potentially happen, and we want to be safe for you. And so if we take a little extra time, that's okay, because we want to be safe. And just that's those moments where you're focusing on self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never complain that it takes too long.
Right. Well, and it does. And I think that those are the things, and this is what made me realize things, like, because when we had to split shifts, and God bless Jen for what she did for us in splitting hours, and then for like six weeks straight. I mean, she was here to get you up in the morning, but then she came back to put you into bed at night. But then but it made me realize that it's like, if when I'm healthy, when I'm doing, that was the work I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I did that work. And it's like, and she obviously rightfully was getting paid to do it. But it's like, then just how much of that stuff that other people are getting paid to do and sacrificing their life and time for, that then I was doing that as a caregiver, And so then when we're talking about unpaid family caregiving, I mean, by the same token, I don't go to the store. I mean, you and I will go to the store, but I mean, you shop, you do the laundry, you do all of this. And it's like, because you're my caregiver and you make sure this happens. And so it's just like that, what you're doing for me as a caregiver, other people would get paid to do that. So,
right. So
I mean, this is why, the advocacy was so important. So I guess my question for you then, if we're talking 20 some years of going to Older Michiganians Day, and like you say, the focal point really was pushing for the My Choice Medicaid waiver program for funding for you, for the caregivers. So then it was like, you were the focus and your needs were the focus. What was it like for you this year? And how was it different to go down to Lansing to Older Michiganians Day when the focus was really more on the caregiving experience? Obviously, My Choice was a huge, huge thing, and they still talked about it. But I mean, just that all of a sudden, that you weren't the focus.
I kind of chuckled because how was it? Well, it was cold. It was very, very cold in Lansing that day, and it was cold. And it was short. The program was a little bit shorter because it was cool.
Just for everybody out there, I mean, it barely topped over 50 degrees. And it was windy and cloudy.
But how was it for me? Because it still focused on me very much. I have over the years made friends with several other participants in the waiver program. So it was nice. I got to see them kind of summer camp-esque because they live like about an hour away. So that was good. And it was nice to listen to a speaker talking about aging in place with style and grace.
That's right.
And that was like our mantra. It was nerve-wracking, if I can say that, because we don't have children, Dan. And I don't want to say you're a child, but you know what it's like when you're watching your spouse, like, gosh, I hope this goes well. I hope this goes well. And you know in your head it's going to go well. You're an amazing speaker, Dan. But I'm just like, oh, okay. It was nerve-wracking because there were steps to get up to the little stage where you had to talk. And you do have multiple sclerosis and a little bit of a step walk thing.
My legs don't work as they should.
No. So that was nerve-wracking.
Nerve-wracking for you. I'm just like,
yeah.
Please don't let me fall. Please don't. There never was a prayer of like, I hope I get the words right. Because obviously I had the speech right in front of me. But the whole time it's like, help me get up the steps. Just let me get up the steps. And once that's done, it was just like, please, one step at a time. Just one step at a time.
Yeah. And so for me, I was incredibly proud, slightly nervous.
Thank you.
Very excited. And where you want to be that guy who's like, shh, shh, shh.
My husband's on the stage.
My husband's talking. Listen to his words. And then my dear friend, Kathy. Bless Kathy's heart. She missed your speech. And she, I don't know what she was doing, but I'm sure she can see it now and hear it. But it was just really, it was powerful. And just one of those things where, like, the waiver program itself, I'm like, duh, fund this, legislators, give us money, support unpaid family caregivers, support caregivers who do not make enough money, who are not paid enough. Let other people into the waiver program, fund the program, make it accessible to more people in the community, because my quality of life, I can't imagine what it would be like if I didn't have this program. If I couldn't sleep next to you in our own bed at night, if I couldn't go to the grocery store, if I had to live in an institution where I didn't have that ability to go when I need to go to do things. And those are realities that as a 30-year-old woman, I didn't want to face. Well, I'm 51 now and I still don't want to face them. I want my home, my choice. And I want to age in place with style and grace.
Amen. Well, and that's the whole thing. It's like the waiver program and family caregivers, unpaid family caregivers. This is everything around it makes sense. I mean, yes, it's going to cost some money, but if you pay caregivers what they're worth, like professional caregivers like Jen, we would not have to worry about a caregiver shortage in Michigan. And then I would have, there would be caregivers for when I was having hernia surgery. And if you paid, you know, the family caregivers, then that would help them offset some of their costs for being caregivers for supplies and everything else. And if they paid then to, for more people on the My Choice program, that keeps more people in their homes, which costs way less than if the state had to pay to put, you know, people into nursing homes.
And certainly we're not bad talking nursing homes because they provide a very valuable service.
Absolutely.
But if you can stay at home at a fraction of the cost of a nursing home, that just makes sense to me. And that's why this is so important. And we would be remiss to not mention how appreciative we are to those caregivers that stepped in during your hernia surgery.
Yes,
just
totally.
To mention Remy and Belinda, and of course, caregiver Jen. It was just beyond valuable. You know, they were so helpful to us.
Absolutely. And I think that, it's like that there would be more caregivers available to do that. So no, we're totally grateful, but I think it's just a matter of having things available for people for quality of life and just to people to maintain their dignity and staying in their own home, the comfortability of being at home. That's it. But it is just like, you know, that we are okay. So we're staying in place with style and grace.
Correct.
Then do we embrace the reality that we have transitioned into quote unquote older Michiganians from where we were 21 years ago.
I embrace it, and I'm appreciative that we are here, because some very special people in the world haven't made it to 51 and 53, and so we have to be grateful for that and thankful for that. But I also am saying that blink and 20 years will go. And so we have to embrace every day and do as much as we can. And that's not threatening or anything. It's just advising both of us to stay on top of our game and to appreciate what we have and to try and make more of it, make more. You know, what is the saying? I've never been this old, but I'll never be this young again. Mm-hmm. So
we do that. And so what we will have in the liner notes, we'll have information on the legislative issues that we discussed with our legislators and just ways that you can get involved as activists. We'll have the links to my speech that Jen so graciously recorded when we were there. And we'll also have just links how you can get involved. And so, wow. Thank you so much.
It's been a busy couple of weeks, it's been so good. And you were amazing speaking. So thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you for recommending me. So, all right. So until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Dickman, and I'm walking.
And it's me, Jennifer Dickman, who's rolling.
And we are A Couple Takes on MS. And together,
we are stronger.
And moving forward. Until next time, take care.